Nick Koziel is the business engagement manager over at the U of R's Center of Excellence in Data Science and Artificial Intelligence. Nick, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, Good morning. It's not even the full title.
Thanks for stopping by. Tell us a little bit more about what you do, because that title probably doesn't help anybody.
No, predominantly what I do is I am the bridge between industry and academia for data science and artificial intelligence. So we have a center of excellence that is funded by New York State, and New York really wants to see advances in data science in the state. And they also want to see economic impact. We work to identify partners that are having maybe challenges in data science or want to develop something in artificial intelligence. And we try to identify industry experts and faculty members, not just at U of R, but at any university in New York State, to work on those problems and then bring jobs and bring economic impact right to here in Rochester and New York State more broad.
Over the past 3 years, one of the top five Googled questions in the world is, what is AI?
Oh, yeah.
So since everybody has Googled that, I'm not going to ask you, because we all know, but
we all know what AI is, right?
AI is now on the end of this department as well. So tell us a little bit more about how AI integrates into your daily role.
Yeah, so I use it myself for certain things, like helping me as like a thinking partner, right? So I'm also doing an EDD program here at the Warner School at U of R, and I like to utilize it as a way that when I don't have someone to talk to about something, I can fire off questions and I have it actually ask me to set things up for like myself. So I don't like to use it as a replacement for building out those text boxes. Maybe in the podcast that I have, I'll do some of that stuff. But I like to learn, right? And AI is a great tool for learning, and it's got limitations. I try to concentrate on that. But then I work with leading experts in the field that build and construct these things. And it's interesting to kind of learn from them the capabilities and the limitations of all these types of systems. I don't always understand exactly what they're saying.
Sure.
But I don't need to. I just need to connect them with the other people in industry that are doing it.
Yeah, and AI is such a fascinating area, because I feel like there's two very dramatic polar opposite views. The one that's, let's embrace AI so much that it is more of a replacement, or this terrifying fear that maybe you should feature it on that podcast. That sounds terrifying. AI sounds terrifying to a lot of people. It's because our roles are all going to be whatever, monopolized by AI, and we won't have jobs anymore. How do we strike a balance between these two extreme ideas?
I think that's the point, is striking a balance. And in the world we live in lately, it seems like everything's just one extreme or the other, but there are gray spaces and there are subtle differences in everything. And they're really, very rarely is there a yes or no or right or wrong answer to anything, and we need to balance out those two things. That would be my advice to anyone that's considering AI or not using AI, but is investigate and learn about what its capabilities are. What is it good at? There are different tools that are better fits for different jobs, right? You're trying to create a photo for something and you go ChatGPT, it can do that. But there's other tools that might do it better and might be more accurate. I was just trying to get a photo this morning together, and it basically, instead of creating the photo of something, it created a photo version of the text that I inputted. I'm like,
oh,
so user error,
not
probably
what you wanted.
Not good prompter. But yeah, I think that you need to find that balance for yourself. And we have a lot of experts that come in and talk about advantages and disadvantages. I don't think we're at Terminator levels of things where AI is taking everything over and trying to eliminate humanity. But there are things that are going to shift and change, especially when it comes to like different jobs and things like that, that have a lot of repetition. There are other ways, quicker ways to maybe utilize AI in the future for that. But you're always going to need that human factor to checks and balances when it comes to like things that are being created by artificial intelligence, at least in the foreseeable future.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. For now, anyway. You mentioned that New York State is really investing a lot into data science.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I mean, it's the future. Data is extremely important. You probably have seen over the years, like companies are much more focused on how to utilize and flex their data, and they're keeping it more to themselves. Whereas years ago, you could buy lists of names and numbers anywhere, and that was the big thing. But now there are a lot of companies that are trying to acquire data sets and keep them to themselves because they realize how important these things can be. And that kind of leads into some of the projects that we have with students. And so we have three sort of things that we do predominantly. We have an internship program for the summer that the CEO will pay for an intern to work at your company, a small company, 100 people or less. And then we have a capstone program, which is a group of students that can work with any company, actually, even outside of New York State. It's the only one that's like internationally available. And then we also have a research collaboration for companies in New York State working with faculty members on researching a data science AI thing. And the faculty principal investigator get up to $60,000 in a grant for that. And we have an open call right now for proposals on that. So one of the big factors is a faculty member needs to work with an industry partner. But again, getting back to that company data, like students need access to data in order to learn how to use that in the real world, right? Mm-hmm. And all the things that they're learning at the university level. So we have companies come in, Buffalo Solar, who hired interns for the last 2 years through us, and they saw $1 million in new revenue and decided to create 5 new positions, 4 in sales and 1 in as a data analyst, all because of interns' work. So does that happen every time? No, but that's a great example of how important data is. And just having a student come in and looking at what you're doing, you can find efficiencies and cost savings and create new positions.
And the U of R is the best of the best when it comes to this stuff, because I know when you and I were back in school, this kind of stuff didn't exist, not nearly as much anyway. And I didn't go to the U of R anyway, so I don't have that superior education. But still, tell us a little bit about why the U of R is uniquely positioned to provide the students with the expertise to literally make that $1 million difference.
Yeah, I mean, we're taking on we have a 10-year anniversary now for Gergen Institute for Data Science and Artificial Intelligence. So we're celebrating that history. We were one of the first to create an institute. And what's great about U of R's is it is an institute. It's not just a school. So we focus on collaboration between the different schools. We have over 100 affiliated faculty from all sort of walks of life and expertise, everything from healthcare to agricultural, like anything you can think that has data, and things that you don't think has data probably does have data. And so U of R is really poised well because we have that university hospital system and we have engineering, we have all these different disciplines, and everything has a data component now where you can use different types of AI learning systems to help with your research or help with whatever field you're in. Another cool example, out of Cornell, we had a group come in called Xalient, and they have a little module that goes in a cow's stomach, just measures temperature and then area location. That's it. But from that, they can tell when the cow's in heat, how much the cow eats, how much it drinks, if it's sick. And the whole idea is to make a healthier herd. So like when a cow gets sick, I think about mad cow disease or something like that. You have to eliminate an entire herd. Maybe now you're just inoculating one cow rather than the entire herd, and you have healthier herds and healthier food, healthier milk, and healthier people. So you just don't know where data can really help you. And that's why it's great to connect with us, and we can help find different ways to make your company or organization just a little bit stronger and making smarter decisions with your data.
And it's the ripple effect of data that you just mentioned that's so powerful, that small little device or whatever it is that measures that data. So you work along with especially the relationships when it comes to the businesses.
Yeah.
What is sometimes the pushback when it comes to businesses who are hesitant to invest in data?
I think that some of it is they don't know what to do with the data they already have. And so there's that lack of understanding. The smaller organizations or the startups have trouble hiring somebody in that area. And that's like where I'm saying this is a perfect opportunity for you to work with paraprofessionals who are guided by professors and helping you with your data. So the pushback usually is also with IP, intellectual property, and like who owns the data, who owns the algorithms when you're done.
Yeah.
Both two of our programs have nothing to do with like IP. Like our students don't keep it. It's your company's. for the capstone and for the internship. When you get into the research collaboration, that's a little bit more tricky just because each university has a different view on intellectual property and who owns it and who pays royalties. Mm. And especially startups and small companies want to keep that IP. So navigating some of those things and answering some of those questions, there's another guy that owns Ingenity and Pete Sulfuris, and he loves to use us as his R&D. So he's willing to pay royalties because he's got a different crop of students coming in every year working with the faculty, and he doesn't necessarily have to put a data scientist or artificial intelligence expert on his payroll right now, and he's still getting innovation.
Yeah. Yeah. So these students are so well equipped. I didn't realize because U of R, when you think about the medical side of things, you think about the business side of things too. There's great business departments too. But when it comes to data science, why is U of R really the best of the best in the area?
It's just the focus on, again, the Institute and how we have been able to expand throughout all the different disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. There's other bigger schools than us that have data science and data artificial intelligence as a prime focus area, but they're like siloed and they're not as willing to work with within even their own university because there's that whole discovery and wanting to keep those secrets to myself and those contacts to myself. And so I try to bridge those gaps. And so even internally, like the capstone projects that we do some internal U of R ones. We're talking to other universities in the area about helping them with their internal processes. So like things as easy as we have one or two people that are looking at all the invoices that come in from any medical purchases, right? Mm. Those are thousands and thousands of records monthly, if not weekly. And the students actually worked on a way to read all those things using AI and flag some of the problems where maybe we overpaid or we underpaid or we didn't pay or we paid twice, right? And that helps us in the future because we might get to the point where we don't need to hire another company to find all those gaps or audit or to waste all the staff time looking code line by line for those problems. Now there's a little flag saying, hey, this might be a problem. So you're checking out 30 to 40 things rather than 30 to 40,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this sounds like such a win-win because you got the businesses and the university who benefits from this. But then you also have the students who are craving that real life experience instead of just sitting in the classroom. I know from a communications and radio standpoint that the classes at Rockport and Syracuse where I went for my two degrees, they were good, but it wasn't until I got the experience and sat behind this mic that really took off for me. So why does this also benefit the students too, who get these opportunities for hands-on real life projects with businesses?
I think that a lot of our students nowadays hear the big names, like they hear the Meta, the Google, the Amazons, and that's what they focus on. And they don't realize that working with even a nonprofit or some of these smaller companies can be an amazing experience because they don't have an entire department of data scientists or AI people. Sometimes they don't have anyone. And so the students get to come in and use the skills that they're learning and build something from scratch using really messy data and being very thoughtful about their approach and to solving whatever that issue might be. And so that is a super valuable experience because now they can go to some of those bigger companies or they might get hired in the pipeline right then and there, like it happened with Buffalo Solar, but they have that experience now of running their own processes and their own teams and whatnot. And big companies are looking for that kind of experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it gives them more options. It helps our students to see that it isn't just Amazon and Meta and Wegmans and like all these. They're all great companies. They're all amazing companies. But you can do really great work and working with a nonprofit who doesn't have a data analyst or scientist and showing like what you can do with that data makes you hireable. And I've seen it happen a bunch of times where students like have proven that you need this role, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to help with everything else that you do. So it's, again, you asked the question about the students and what's in it for them. It's a win-win for the company, for me, and for the student, because it helps us to grow our program and helps create a pipeline for these students to find work.
Yeah, and you can learn more up at rochester.edu/COE, the Center of Excellence in Data Science and Artificial Intelligence. And Nick Koziel is joining us this morning. What kinds of businesses should be looking out for something like this? Who should be getting in touch with you?
I hate to say everyone, but really it is everyone okay. now. So we've worked with, on the Capstone side in particular, we've worked with a wildlife rehabilitator who was releasing red-tailed hawks, and they were tracking based on the release patterns, like are they thriving? Are they reproducing? To, again, Wegmans, we've worked with NASA, we've worked with small mom-and-pop kind of shops about everything from delivery and marketing. We worked with the city of Rochester and had a really great project with the fire department and helping them to analyze their response times and like what to deploy and when to deploy it and how to get there faster and how to all those things. So if you're collecting data, definitely it's something that we can help with. If you're not collecting data yet, you should be. But we also can help with that too. We can help identify ways, especially if you're a small business and you need an intern for the summer. The COE pays for that. It's 2 months of full-time work with a student, and they're working on data science or artificial intelligence for your company or organization.
And ultimately, that down the road benefits the economy, because that's what New York is really investing in right now, data science to help businesses to further contribute to the economy. So you're doing good work. How does it feel to be not only having a job, but to be fulfilling this greater mission here in the Rochester area?
It feels good. I really do enjoy those sort of aha moments when you had maybe a partner that was hesitant to work with us. And then at the end of the experience, they're like, oh my gosh, when's next year? Like, when can we do this again? How can we continue to partner? Because it's a very effective way to have that sort of symbiotic relationship where students are getting what they need, faculty members are getting what they need, and companies and organizations are also. And then New York State, because we're seeing jobs increase, we're seeing that economic impact. And you look even at the federal government level, one of the only things that aren't, it feels like everything's being cut, but one of the only things that's they're investing more money into is AI and data science components and a lot of grants now. When you look at universities that are applying for things, they're looking for where's the AI component, where's the data science component. So it's becoming more and more critical to at least have a working understanding of what this is.
Again, rochester.edu/COE to get in to at least learn more. How can a business owner or somebody who knows somebody who might benefit from this get in touch?
Definitely just reach out to me, Nick Koziol, and it's n.koziol@rochester.edu. I'm also on that website that John mentioned. Happy to talk to you about options, happy to identify people that might be great for further information or networking. But that's part of what I do. If you have interest, you have questions, definitely reach out.
Nick Koziol from the, I'm going to butcher it again, Center of Excellence in Data Science and Artificial Intelligence at the University of Rochester. Nick, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.